Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As I work through the Psalms in the original Hebrew, there's a word that occurs over and over to describe God's trait or characteristic or attribute. The word is chesed in the Hebrew, and it's often translated simply as mercy. It's the word in that common prayer, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." And mercy is a fine translation of that word, but it doesn't capture the entire thought of the word. No English word really can. It has also been translated as simply love, or steadfast love. Or Luther, in his German, translated it Güte, which is really just the word for goodness. Goodness, or kindness. Your goodness, or his goodness, endures forever. Mercy, love, goodness, these are characteristics and attributes of God. And in today's gospel, we see Jesus revealing those characteristics in himself as the God who became man. It's yet another epiphany, another revelation of his divinity and of what that divinity is like. He is a God of goodness, mercy, and love. Jesus had just finished preaching the Sermon on the Mount at this point. Matthew records the Sermon on the Mount for us in chapters 5 through 7, and here we are at the beginning of chapter 8, as Jesus is just coming down from the Mount. We see that he'll put into practice the very things he just finished preaching. First, in his encounter with the man who had leprosy, and then in his encounter with the centurion. As Jesus was coming down from the mountain, large crowds followed him. And behold, Matthew says, a leper came and bowed down to him, saying, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Somehow, somewhere, this man whose skin was mottled with sores had heard of Jesus, had heard already in this early part of his ministry of Jesus' goodness, mercy, and love, and also of his power and his authority over sickness and disease. And what this man had already heard sparked faith in his heart. Faith so confident already in Jesus' goodness that he simply lays his case before Jesus. "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." It's a much better way of approaching Jesus than Jesus' mother approached him in last week's gospel, the wedding at Cana, where Mary just came to Jesus and said, "They have no more wine," with the clear implication, "And you're going to do something about that, right?" Whereas this leper starts with the perfectly submissive, "If you are willing," leaving everything to Jesus to decide in his goodness, mercy, and love. And goodness, mercy, and love are exactly what we see from Jesus in his response. First, in that he touches the man with leprosy, which in itself was a great act of compassion, because the Jews were not supposed to touch anything unclean unnecessarily, and lepers were ceremonially unclean. But as a caring physician touches the patient in order to diagnose and heal him of his disease, so Jesus wasn't ashamed to come into contact with this leprous man. He touched him, Matthew says, and said, "I am willing, be cleansed." We notice he demanded nothing of the man at that point. The man had already been humbled before God by his disease and by the ceremonial restrictions that went along with his disease. If he had been clinging to some sin or exalting himself before God, then Jesus would have rebuked him. The exalted will be humbled. But since he came in humility and in faith, Jesus was quick to comfort him and to heal him for free. Such is the goodness, mercy, and love of God for us poor sinners. And by that healing, so simple, so authoritative, Jesus revealed his divinity to those who witnessed it and to us who get to read about it in Matthew's gospel. Jesus did give the man one instruction after healing him. See that you tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Here's Jesus again practicing what he had just gotten done preaching in the Sermon on the Mount. In that sermon, he had said this: "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly, I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled." The law of Moses commanded lepers who had been healed to show themselves to the priest, who would examine them and declare them to be clean. This man's miraculous cleansing all by itself would be a testimony to the whole priesthood that Jesus was the promised Messiah. Then the law of Moses also required the cleansed leper to offer a special offering for his ceremonial cleansing. So Jesus' instruction to the man to do what the law required him to do would also be a testimony to the whole priesthood that Jesus wasn't some rogue preacher starting some new religion. No, he was the very Christ whom the law and the prophets had been pointing to all along. His ministry would not be in opposition to the law or to the legitimate priesthood in Israel. He would fulfill the law to the letter. And only after everything was fulfilled, after everything was finished, only then would the ceremonial commands of the law give way to the freedom of the New Testament, and the office of the Old Testament priests would then be replaced with the high priesthood of Jesus the Christ sitting at the right hand of God. Then we come to the second part of today's gospel as Jesus dealt with the centurion. This Roman centurion, as we're informed by Luke in his gospel, was a friend to the Jews. He had even built them a synagogue for their worship there in Capernaum. So he had been paying attention to the word about Jesus that was going around. He came to Jesus and presented his case before him. "Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed and suffering terribly." Jesus said to him, "I will come and heal him." Again, we see the Lord's readiness to help, even to help this Gentile soldier. And we see how Jesus dealt differently with each one according to the needs of each one. He offers right away to go to the house of this centurion to heal his servant. Now, at around the same time in Jesus' ministry, in the same city of Capernaum, we're told by St. John in chapter 4 that there was a Jewish nobleman who had come to Jesus, begging Jesus to come to his house to heal his son. "Come, come quickly, come before my son dies." And in that case, Jesus refused to go with the man to his house, teaching him the importance of believing only in Jesus' word, not in any other sign. And he did heal that man's son, but not by going to his house. He healed him with a word. But in this case, Jesus was the one offering to go to the centurion's house, and the centurion was the one telling Jesus, "No, no, don't bother yourself with it. Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. And then the centurion compared his authority under another and his authority over others to Jesus' authority. To Jesus' authority to just speak a word and he would be obeyed by what? What was his authority over? It was over the bodily functions of every person on earth, no matter where they are. This centurion confessed Jesus' power to speak a word commanding a body somewhere else to be healed, and the body would simply obey, as a soldier must obey his commanding officer. That's astonishing faith. And Jesus marveled, we're told. The Jews had been hounding him for signs to prove his authority to them. They were slow to believe his word, and most never did. But here is a Gentile, a Roman soldier, who has simply believed the report he has heard about Jesus, that he was full of goodness, mercy, and love, that he was both willing and able to help those in need. Now, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, "Truly I tell you, I have not found such great faith, no, not even in Israel. And I tell you that many will come from the east and the west and will sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And Jesus said to the centurion, "Go now, and as you have believed, so let it be done to you." Saint Matthew, whose gospel we are considering today, was the writer to the Hebrews in particular, to the Jews. And the Holy Spirit used Matthew to reach out to them more than any other evangelist. "Look, people of Israel, you were slow to believe in Jesus as the Christ, and the Gentiles were quick. God's judgment against the Jews right now being meted out is just, and so is his inclusion of the Gentiles in his kingdom. So wake up. You are the original children of the kingdom. Repent before you are cast out for your unbelief, even as the Gentiles are right now welcomed at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You were the original recipients of God's goodness, mercy, and love. Don't forfeit all that you've been given. If you do, it won't be a failure of God's goodness, mercy, and love. It will be your impenitence and unbelief that gets you thrown out into the darkness." And so today's gospel is yet another appeal on God's part to all who hear. Our God is a God of goodness, mercy, and love. He has proven it time and time again, most of all by giving his Son into death on a cross for the sins of the world. We are sinners who don't deserve to be in his kingdom at all. And the moment you start thinking you deserve a place in God's kingdom, that your sins aren't that bad, or that Jesus isn't good, merciful, and loving enough to help, to be your Savior, that's when you're on the brink of perishing. So you who have come from the West, while others have come from the East into the kingdom of God by coming to baptism and faith in Christ Jesus, see again Jesus' goodness, mercy, and love in today's gospel. See how he helps those who come to him in humility and in faith, who trust in his will, who trust in his word. And be one of those who approach him in such humility and faith. Trust in his goodness, mercy, and love toward you, and then show that same goodness, mercy, and love toward everyone you encounter today and throughout the week. May God grant it by his Holy Spirit. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.